broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go.
All right, are we going to name that tune, Mr. Kurt Crosby? Merry Christmas to all of you. We're not afraid to say Merry Christmas on your radio. We love Christmas time. I love Christmas music. I collect it, ladies and gentlemen. It's just phenomenal stuff. A lot of fun. And I know Christmas is too commercialized. I get all that. But I also get that it's a time of God, family, and country. All right, Kurt, you with me? Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias and Merry Christmas. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Can you guess
Thank
that
you,
tune?
And Feliz Navidad.
You know.
I don't know who the singers
are.
Come
on, Kurt. You share a last name with the guy, for crying out loud.
Okay, Bing Crosby.
There you go, sir.
Oh, good.
Roger yes. that. All right, got it. Good. By the way, our guest this hour, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good to be with you.
All right. I bet you guessed that tune before Kurt did, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I'm an old fan of all the old music.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a couple of quick stories before we get to a lot of the World Affairs Brief pieces. CNN is now reporting that it was so cold in Wisconsin that I guess only one person showed up for the Electoral College protest. Well, what do you say to that, Joel? Is that global warming at its best or what? I mean,
well, you know, the entire Electoral College thing was a bomb. In fact, Hillary Clinton got more protest votes than Donald Trump did.
Now, the fake news, mainstream press ran around and told you what a coup it was going to be. Look out. They're close to overturning the whole thing. You've got defectors everywhere, and it all turned out to be one big old hoax, sir.
Well, you know, I'm not sure how much of a hoax it was. It was the major thing was the Colorado ruling. You finally had court precedent binding electors to state law. And so the anti-Trump eight, so to speak, end up not, you know, protesting. There were two in Texas that went against Trump, but there were four against Hillary Clinton who voted for Bernie Sanders. So, you know, I just had a gut feeling this wasn't going to turn out to be much because the establishment seemed very satisfied with their abilities to co-opt Donald Trump and to select people or get him to select people who are very, very controllable, if not outright controlled. So I didn't see signs that the establishment was really going to take down Donald Trump.
And by the way, I get that we have a lot of hope for Donald, and I hope he does a lot of the right things. Some of his picks have been reasonable, but most of his picks really, as far as I can see, have been nothing but the revolving door. What we've done is we've put the military-industrial complex in power, and we've put basically big billionaire business in power. And the revolving door seems to keep happening. These aren't leaders that many of us know, but they've been around. They've been insiders. They've been in the military. They've been in big, big business for a long time. Even, for example, Donald Trump met with Carlos Slim yesterday and had a delightful dining experience. So much for the idea that he can't get along with the Mexicans. But really, we're seeing, if we're not very careful, the revolving door happening, as far as I can see.
Well, technically, the real revolving door are true insiders who, as soon as they get out of government service, you know, like Dick Cheney get a job at Halliburton at six figures, even though he has no oil and gas experience, and other revolving door from true insiders. Only the real, you know, the Goldman Sachs people tend to be really insiders, or Sam Pompeo. You know, they would never put a non-insider in charge of the CIA. And this was a person, Pompeo was never leaked to the press in advance to sound out how his supporters would feel about it. This thing was just simply flat out announced without any prior, you know, leaking. So You know, other than that, you know, there are some good picks that will, you know, resist some of things. I'm encouraged by what Jeff Sessions may do as Department of Justice. I mean, this is the prime organization that gives cover and immunity to people, and he isn't an insider. He isn't a player in that regard. So how they'll control Jeff Sessions in that regard, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get some real prosecutions out of this.
And in all fairness, Donald has surprised them many a times. So although they think they may control him, and they may to some degree, he might have a mind of his own. And some of the leaders might, given the chance, actually do more than we think they'll do. An example is yesterday, a lot of folks defected against Hillary. I think it was a shock to the establishment to a great degree.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to remember, though, that we've got a really split country right down the middle. If not, in fact, if you take out the populist portion of the Trump supporters, we are in a distinct minority, those that are principled conservatives,
distinct minority
in this country. And so that's not going to change. Donald Trump is only there because he's brought in Democrats and independents and, you know, people who are, you know, a principled conservative could not have made the appeals that Donald Trump could. They couldn't with a straight face have said, you know, you're going to rebuild the military, you're going to solve all the problems in the country, including the inner cities, without raising taxes. I mean, he just couldn't say that. It's too difficult to do. But, as I say, I am cautiously optimistic that he'll at least stop this refugee flow that that Obama has been doing and stop the illegal immigration. I personally don't think he's going to end up deporting a lot of people, and I don't think he's going to deport any of the peaceful people. He's looking for an excuse to let them stay. And that's a problem because, you know, if you start letting those people vote, then it's all over. You know, it'll tip the scales. We'll never, I mean, even if, because, you know, the 3 million votes that Hillary won by in terms of the popular vote were attributed to illegals that are already registered to vote through, you know, voter registration and other things where they don't check ID or require citizenship. And if you let the rest of the, it's not just 11 million, it's about 30 million vote, you're going to get 28 million Democrats on the voter rolls. And so it's all over after that.
All right. It's something that we really need to keep an eye on. That's for sure. How bold Donald will be, time will tell. But we, like I mentioned to others, we got to give him a chance to see if he'll do the right thing. I mean, we have no real choice
absolutely.
But to sit back and watch. We got to give him a chance. Now, others are saying, well, it's kind of like, you know, the shotgun marriage, you know, speak up now forever or forever hold your peace. I agree we got to bring up the alarm bells to some degree, but we've got to give Donald a chance, and we've got to hope he puts in some of our picks, and we got to hope that a lot of people will turn the right direction given the opportunity. We're not going to get all that we hope for, but if we get one or two key pieces, it'll be worth it.
Well, I don't think we're going to reverse anything that's happened in the United States. I think it'll slow down the globalist agenda, and that gives us more time. There's a great benefit there. So it's very, very important to, you know, to be supportive. And as I say, if Hillary runs again in 4 years, this could be a real problem. We could be saddled with a nightmare following Donald Trump.
We could, if we get some at least reasonable reality on the border, if we get a little bit less regulation and a little bit lower taxes, I mean, that would be, in my opinion, a pretty big win.
Yes, as I say, we're one of the reasons why he's got a pro-Federal Reserve guy in there in Treasury, you know, an insider, is because he's going to depend on inflation. And that's why the stock markets are booming. They know that inflation is coming. I mean, this stock market is just insane. I mean, who's buying, you know, boosting Dow Industrials? It's just, it's looking for a correction. Won't be an economic collapse, but there will be a major correction at some point.
There will be a correction. There will be some tough times ahead. Believe you me, the roller coaster will be alive and well. That's for sure. Especially when we spur fake news, bogus claims of Russian influence in the United States elections is one of your latest headlines from the latest worldaffairsbrief.com release, Joel. This is a fake news propaganda of the highest order, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. It's amazing. You know, we talk about, you know, the alternative media and certain fake news, and there is certain fake news out there. There's the Sorcha Falls out there and the Superstation 95 and other people who hype things to death, and you have to really watch it. I mean, the alternative news just hyped this electoral college thing to the moon, and it wasn't really the mainstream media that was hyping it, it was the alternative media. And I disagreed. I said, I just don't feel it's going to amount to much, and it didn't. But when you combine now what the FBI and the CIA has been doing, we're talking about fake intelligence, not just fake news. And it's not surprising to me. I blew the whistle in 2007 when the intelligence community came out with the National Intelligence Estimate saying that Iran didn't have a nuclear weapon.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about this. Yeah. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com on your radio. Incredible commentary in your inbox every Friday. Check it out. You get the text version, your emailed version in PDF, the printable version, and the audio version as well. Worldaffairsbrief.com in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you kind of say, how do you celebrate Christmas and all the cheer and positive with the negative news you're reporting, Sam? And my response is because we have a hope. We disagree with Michelle Obama that there's no hope in America. We believe there's plenty of hope, although we got a row to hoe. We teach to the ideal and live in the real is probably the best way to describe it. Joel Skousen, our guest, worldaffairsbrief.com. Trouble and commentary on commentary and insights on a troubled world, I should say. We bring solutions to the table. We make sure that you're aware of what's really happening. No fake news, folks. Just telling it like it is and bringing forward the best analysis we possibly can on your radio in the spirit of hope and the spirit of solutions. Joel, you were mentioning right before the pause, you blew the whistle back in what, 2007?
Yes. That's when the CIA put out their national intelligence estimate. And actually changed, went flip-flopped. They basically said, oh, we were mistaken. Iran really doesn't have any intentions to have a nuclear program. In fact, they don't even have a nuclear weapons program. I mean, it was just an eye-popping lie, a big lie. And the reason they turned it around is because Ron Paul was running for president. It was a tremendous anti-war fever. And they had to derail the Ron Paul candidacy. And so not only did they turn it around, they took all their three aircraft carrier groups away from Iran and decided to stand down. And then as soon as the Ron Paul had been defeated in the primaries, the Republican, they came right back and says, oh, yeah, I guess Iran really still does have a nuclear weapons program. So this is not new that they falsify intelligence for political purposes.
Ron Paul wisely said, you know what, hey, this fake news push is really a lie for government censorship. I agree with him.
Well, they certainly are trying to censor, the alternative news media, and that's why Facebook has got these so-called fact checkers now, and I think Facebook is shooting itself in the foot. People want, liberty of expression, and when Facebook starts to, censor too much, people are going to leave Facebook.
And they're literally going to put Snopes in charge of the monitoring. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the bottom line is disinformation leaks are one of the chief causes of fake news creation, right?
Yes, and the fact that we're dealing with a conspiracy of power that hides, the primary way in which the media normally manipulates the news is by what they don't say. They never cover, the things which point to conspiracy in the news. And so the alternative media then is wide open to make up and fill in the gaps by making things up. And sometimes it's good analysis. I try to be in that camp of trying to tell what they're really up to. But in fact, it takes analysis. You don't know for sure.
And they love that making it up part, because when the mainstream press with the liberal agenda and their globalist agenda make it up, they can fill in the gaps and then they can say, see, we're not peddling fake news. That wasn't even us. We didn't do it. In other words, there's a separation between who's leaking the news and those reporting the news in such a way to create no accountability, right?
Yeah, that's right. But, in this case of blaming the Russians, a couple of weeks ago I did a major piece in the World Affairs Brief explaining this, and I try to, synopsize and explain a little bit why the media, who's been permissive for years, explaining away any Russian aggression, looking the other way, selling them arms and saying, it's okay, we're making peace, we have a reset, we have another reset with the Russians, despite their cheating on every disarmament treaty. And suddenly you turn around and the establishment's in attack mode against Russia. And so I explain this basically by the fact that, remember, there's a globalist agenda out there to invite war. They can't start the war with the Russians and the Chinese. They need to have the West be the victims, appear to be the victims of a Russian-Chinese aggressive attack. And so that's why they've been permissive so many years to not covering, not exposing that the phony fall of the Soviet Union was, in fact, phony, playing along with it. Then the Russians intervened in Syria, of course, and this was surprising to not only the globalists, but surprising to me, because the Russians had been bending over backwards to let the globalists have their way in the Middle East. I think that was for a couple of purposes. One, to eavesdrop on U.S. military operations in order to be able to develop countermeasures to our electronic countermeasures for future attacks. But apparently, as well as to allow the West to develop this reputation of being the bully of the world. But at a certain point, Russia decided, okay, we've got enough information. We'd like some combat experience for our pilots and things now. And plus the fact that, you know, the U.S. already has an ample reputation as the bully of the world, so it's time for us to intervene and save Assad. And I think it was a worthy cause, because Assad, being a mild-mannered, Western-trained medical person, is not the tyrant that his father was. Sure, you're dealing with a cauldron of disparate factions and things in Syria, and I think he was doing a fairly good job of holding it together, certainly much better than anything the rebels would create, which would be a bloodbath if they ever took over, who had been financed by the U.S. But I think they, you know, the Russians also knew from their intelligence that the U.S. was really not fighting ISIS, that they had created ISIS, and that they were, you know, playing it, you know, that they were fighting ISIS at the same time that they were allowing them to maneuver and get out of the way of any of attacks that they were throwing at them. So they said, hey, this is a great time to poke a stick in the eye of the globalists and embarrass them. And they have done that royally. They've really stopped the Syrian agenda. And that explains essentially why, you know, the U.S. is still playing both sides of the fence. They're verbally attacking Russia, blaming it for everything, and creating new things to blame Russia, because essentially they are, you know, really upset that the globalists are stopping their Middle East agenda. But at the same time, they're still being permissive with Russia in terms of the long-term war agenda. You know, they support so-called sanctions against Russia, but they're token sanctions. They're just laughable in terms of, you know, you look at real sanctions, what they put on Iran, and if you did that to Russia, you know, you would have probably war, but these are just token sanctions. And at the same time, the U.S. still imports Russian oil. At the same time, the U.S. still buys Russian rocket motors and is, you know, delayed developing their own technology just to have the excuse to continue to buy Russian rocket motors. And they're still seeking for a disarmament treaty with Russia.
But they love to antagonize Russia and then tie Donald Trump to that agenda, too.
Yeah, and part of that is because, you know, they have an agenda of antagonizing Russia, and they don't want Donald Trump to stop antagonizing. And Donald Trump has come out in terms of this intelligence, says, okay, you know, show me the proof, and, you know, and if it's the proof, we'll do some strong things to sanction Russia for it. But I think Trump knows there is no proof, and I pointed out in the World Affairs Brief, there is no proof. You're talking about a fingerprint of a Russian hacking group because of their using a certain type of software, and this is what they've done in the past.
Now, Judge Napolitano, though, says it's the United States agencies doing it.
Well, I think it is. I think the United States agency, which hires the best hackers in the world, can easily duplicate any fingerprint they want. I mean, there's just no proof whatsoever. And how to say that this particular Russian hacking group has ties to the Kremlin? How do you know that? Where's the proof? You can assume that. You can say that. But the point is, Julian Assange has said the Russians did not give it to us. The former ambassador in England said, no, it wasn't a Russian. I personally took the information from an insider from the Democratic National Committee.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. A lot of people are saying it's the most wonderful time of the year. Some are saying it's the most fattening time of the year. Only if you eat the wrong foods, folks. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Most Americans who have studied the criminal justice system and the due process guarantees in the Bill of Rights assume that it is impossible for the government to imprison a citizen indefinitely without a trial and a criminal conviction. The case of treasure hunter Tommy Thompson demonstrates that this is not true. He has been incarcerated in an Ohio jail for 2 years and will remain there on the orders of a federal judge until he tells the FBI where he has hidden a trove of gold he recovered from the wreck of the steamship SS Central America in 1988. The Central America sank in the Atlantic Ocean in September September 1857, taking with it a large quantity of gold coins destined for banks in California. The disaster led to a string of bank failures that precipitated a recession. Thompson used a robot called Nemo to locate the shipwreck and its cargo. In 2000, several investors filed a lawsuit against him claiming that he had defrauded them. In 2012, a federal arrest warrant was issued after Thompson failed to appear in court. He was arrested 2 years later, but the FBI didn't find the treasure, and Thompson refuses to tell them where it is. He was found in contempt of court in April 2015, but claimed his impaired memory wouldn't provide him with the location of the gold, which is supposedly hidden in Belize. A civil contempt ruling amounts to an open-ended prison sentence. Thompson will remain in jail, facing fines of $1,000 a day until he provides the FBI with the answers it demands. He could conceivably be imprisoned for the rest of his life. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
My sister began smoking because of friends. I don't think any less of her because she smokes, but it's been really hard because I know she could have done better if she hadn't chose to smoke. She's trying to quit actually right now, but it's a really hard process and she's down to a couple of cigarettes a day, so she's doing really good, but it's been a really hard thing in my family actually. It's caused a lot of problems. My sister smoking definitely hurt my parents. I'd come home sometimes, my mom would just be in tears.
Smoking hurts a lot of people, most of whom don't even smoke.
I definitely think my religion has played a role in me not smoking. I'm a Christian, and I believe I'm better because I don't smoke. Smoking hurts your friends, your family. It's not worth it in the long run. And you may not realize it now if you are smoking, but you will.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that it gets better than that. Sending a message to Michelle Obama. I wonder if she likes Elvis. But man, if every day was Christmas, just imagine how it'd be. And I don't mean everybody gets presents every day, and I don't mean the commercialism. I'm talking about patterning our lives after the Savior Jesus Christ and learning to follow the Prince of Peace. Man, we could get rid of the pro-war hawkish mentality. We could start to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. It would be a tremendous opportunity, to say the least. Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. Insights into a troubled world, folks, every Friday in your inbox. They got an audio version now, too, so you can listen to it while you're headed to work or traveling. It's just phenomenal. Worldaffairsbrief.com. Sign up today for some of the best commentary on the internet. Fake news rejected. A reality truth teller, Joel Skousen. By the way, joelskousen.com is his website for his books. Tremendous Christmas gifts. Available now, joelskousen.com or worldaffairsbrief.com. Give people the gift of sanity. Give people the gift of stability. And give people the gift of understanding what's really going on in the world around them. Joel, so you got fake news going on. You got Russia and Syria literally hot spots as we continue to antagonize Russia. Do you think the Russians feel under the gun on this, or do you think it's just part of the skit?
Well, they certainly are feeling under the gun now that their ambassador in Turkey has been assassinated. And that's a real warning sign, to the Russians that the dark side of the Anglo-American establishment is going to start to, make them pay for their involvement in Syria. And, the Russians are not ready for war with the West, and that's why they've been, somewhat restrained. That's why they don't retaliate with Turkey when they shot down one of their fighters. But, you know, Russia's got a tremendous amount of not only dark side potential, but military potential as well. They can play the assassination game, too, but I think they're not. They're going to hold back for a while and take it, realizing that they're not going to ruin their chance to do the major preemptive nuclear strike that they're planning when the West is least expecting it.
All right. It seems to me that it's very complicated in the world, and that's one of the things that World Affairs Brief does, is take some of these complicated international issues, wartime scenario, etc., and brings them down to the kitchen table level where mere mortals can understand what the heck's going on. And one of the ways you do that is you take a certain viewpoint. Assad's view of the war in Syria is one example from your latest World Affairs Brief. How you look at it is from their angle or their positions of what they may be doing from a globalist point of view and or a rejection thereof. And once you start to get some of these world leaders' points of views and what their stances are and what their agendas are, pretty soon it's not as complicated as it first appeared, right?
Well, it always is complicated. It's never going to be clear. I mean, just like what I've described, I mean, as the West is apoplectic about Russia's stymieing their agenda in Syria, and it's a complex agenda. You know, it's not. they've falsified, and that's what Assad shows in his interview, is that I'm very much aware that the U.S. is, there are no moderate terrorists. They're all extremists. They're all pro-Sharia law. And the U.S., through Qatar and Saudi Arabia, is funding these people and shipping arms to them, is not fighting ISIS. He knows it all, and the Russians know it all. What's amazing to me is how the mainstream press can continue to suppress this. I mean, this interview with Assad on Syrian TV, I mean, if you Google anything about Assad in Syria, et cetera, you will never get Syrian TV coming up as one of the alternatives in Google. You'll never see this interview. It's very difficult to find. And I, of course, found the link. But I've been trying to find out what the Syrian point of view is and the counters to everything from the claims that they use chemical weapons on the people, which is a total lie. The U.S., in fact, shipped in chemical weapons to Syria. And now Syria's found proof. They've had the rebels. They've got a shell from the rebel. Now they've taken a Aleppo that has traces of mustard gas in it. And they brought in international observers. And do you think the mainstream media covered that in the United States? Not at all. RT did, of course, Russia Today. But Assad is very, very sharp, understands what the problem is, but the media will not give him any time on the media except with Western reporters who are badgering him about, you know, claims that are not true. And then they don't air the point where he gives evidence. They just give selected views of his response so that they can say that he doesn't have any real answers to the Western charges, but he does.
All right, that's fascinating. See, just one of the nuggets you get this interview pointed out to you that you couldn't see elsewhere, and that's kind of the way they manipulate the news. A lot of times they peddle fake news through leaks. Oftentimes, though, what they do is the fake news is pretty much in their silence, oftentimes, where you don't get the real story, you don't get different sides of the issues. Literally, though, the United States should be held account for their funding of terrorists, using Qatar and other countries to literally send money, arms, and training to build up, really, the boogeyman to create this hatred against America, all for the purpose of eventually pushing global governments and creating an attack that will eventually turn into a new global order that they're after. They know they can't get it done without war. War will crash the economy. I mean, you start to see these building blocks, and pretty soon, even though it's very complicated, you at least get an understanding of what they're trying to do. Otherwise, it's so confusing, you don't even get it. But I believe because of your newsletters, people are actually understanding, and maybe not exact timing, because that's impossible to lay down, but at least the understanding of what is driving these agendas.
You know, one of the most excruciating things to listen to is the chest beating of the media about and the pundits and the politicians about Russia violating our sovereignty by interfering in our election. I mean, this is so hypocritical. The U.S. interferes in other elections all over the world, and I put in one of the ones that I covered in the World Affairs Brief in Colombia, where the United States, or the CIA, came in and trained a guy named Montesinos to be, a special to do spying on other politicians, basically, and then used that information to get other politicians to drop out or embarrass them so that Fujimori, a pro-U.S. Politician, could be put in. They, interfered in with Allende in Chile and with, in Guatemala and El Salvador. There's just U.S. interference in elections all over the place. I was in El Salvador and Guatemala trying to help create a free market party called ARENA, which actually, eventually won the election, but only after the U.S. came in and poured in a lot of money to sabotage the party, which was somewhat free market and libertarian orientation, and turned them into Republican-type control party. And I was, basically the State Department said, you can have, any party you want in El Salvador, but you can't have one mimicking the U.S. Constitution. I mean, they interfere all the time with this so-called democracy project, which is pours billions of dollars into people's elections and other political parties to control them. So this is extreme hypocrisy for the U.S. to claim that, Russia was interfering in the election and it's a violation of our sovereignty.
And one of the realities to understand is that most of the world understands this. It's just us that doesn't get what we're doing, right?
Yeah. Well, most of the world reads good alternative news, and they know that the U.S. is the bully of the world and the hypocrite of the world.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that's really the problem. The question is, will Donald Trump be able to really do anything to combat it? Will he really be able to do anything to change it?
The reason I don't think he can do much is because he really doesn't know the details of conspiracy. He's read enough alternatively suspicious of 9/11, but without the details, you can't go in there and uncover it. I'm positive he doesn't realize that the NSA is one of the core parts of the dark side of government, the CIA and the FBI. I mean, certainly he knows that there was politicized under Comey on that, but whether or not he'll replace Comey, I don't know. He certainly should, but whether or not he'll replace him with somebody that will go in and ferret out the dark side of the FBI, that's very difficult to do, even if you know what you're looking for, because they have all the guns and all the power, and there's a real risk of of assassination, like happened in JFK, if you start to dismantle the dark side of government.
They also control and make all the money.
Yeah, and they can pull the plug on this economy faster than you can bat an eye and destroy his recovery efforts if they wanted to.
And he knows it, and that'll be the threat. I believe Kissinger on Fake the Nation was praising Trump with a velvet hammer just the other day as well. We'll talk about that when we come back with Joel Skousen in seconds. We also want to talk about Trump's latest picks and what some of those things will mean. And then we got an update, incredible opportunity for preparedness about wood stoves and more. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds with Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com on your radio. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Kirk Crosby, can you guess this one, my friend?
You know, it's not Andy Williams, I don't think.
Nope. Hey, Joel Skousen, can you get this one, my friend?
No, I don't do modern music.
Oh, man, this is the Carpenters. All right. 50-year-old stuff. There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I should have gotten that one. Yeah, I should have.
Yeah,
I was listening to some of that Carpenter stuff lately, and I should have remembered that one. Sorry about that.
All right, there you go. Anyway, it's very strange. We're playing Christmas music and trying to celebrate the season, and the world we live in is certainly in stark contrast, to say the least. Wow. But you know what, folks? We've got to teach to the ideal, live in the real. And we've got to maintain a positive attitude, even though we delve into politics quite often. A lot of it's very discouraging. We've got to really realize that disinformation leaks are creating fake news everywhere. And we need to understand what's behind these Russia attacks, this globalist agenda. We need to realize that different people have views contrary to what we, the Americans, think. We have a very controlled, very gatekeeping news scenario in America. And you've got to look outside of the American homogenized news to really get a handle on what's happening in the world. Joel Skousen does that very well and brings it to you in worldaffairsbrief.com. Check it out today. In fact, one of the headlines, more Trump picks. Donald's starting to pick people. And, you know, the mainstream press really focused on his picks at first, but now they're not paying attention to him too much. You got to wonder why, Joel.
Well, you know, you take Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State. This was a surprise. you know, this man is deep into the globalist agenda, even though he isn't a card-carrying globalist. He's not a member of the CFR or any of the organizations that you might, you know, consider that the globalist insiders are. But it's very disturbing, some of his, you know, history, even in social policy. He's been in favor of global warming legislation. He supports a carbon tax. Though moderately so, he supports Common Core, has embraced leftist social causes such as Planned Parenthood, and was the president of the Boy Scouts when there was a big push to include gay scoutmasters and gay scouts in the organization from 2010 to 2012. Now, there's no doubt that Tillerson is a fairly good person. He's a Christian who goes to church every week. He's competent. He has a wide contacts around the world. He doesn't support sanctions on Russia, calling them ineffective. And that's because they're token sanctions. They're not really real. But while he isn't a member of the CFR, he has spoken to globalist organizations like the CFR and also the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, where he pushed for more free trade agreements. So he doesn't have any of the DNA that I would say involves in somebody who would be resistant to globalists. He may not be a knowing conspirator in that, but he will certainly be open to the other advisors who will push him to do those things. We can only depend on Donald Trump to call the shots, and Tillerson will probably go along if Donald Trump doesn't want to do international trade agreements. But it is worrisome that he's been soundly endorsed by Henry Kissinger, the ultimate globalist insider. But even worse, though, is the Deputy Secretary of State, John Bolton. He's a real globalist, who is going to be running the day-to-day affairs of the state, which Tillerson will not be over. And so this is really more dangerous than Tillerson at the head.
But when you put them all together, in my opinion, that's how they're going to control Donald Trump. They're going to literally draw on the fact that he doesn't have experience, and they're going to literally walk all over Donald behind the scenes. And if he gets too out of line, they're going to give him the velvet hammer, in my humble opinion.
Now, here's the way they do this. They know by Donald Trump's experience that this guy's a pretty nice guy. And while Donald Trump will get really in your face if you're a known attacker and enemy like Hillary Clinton, he has a tremendous amount of weakness towards flattery and people who are nice to him. He's responsive to that. He really worships other people who have made it in the world. That's why he's picked a lot of other big billionaires. But, to sit down with Henry Kissinger and have a great chat with him and think that Henry Kissinger is a great guy, to think that Rudolph Giuliani is a great guy, means you really can't understand what went on at 9/11. Yeah, otherwise, you'd know that Giuliani had inside information about Building 7 coming down and enough time for him to get out, with plenty of time, basically, and not warn the other firefighters. But, there's just so much about Donald Trump that shows that he really doesn't understand the dangerous conspiracy of government that he's up against.
Also, in my opinion, sitting down with Carlos Slim and having a great dinner, that doesn't bode well either. Carlos Slim is one of the richest men in the world.
Well, I don't... It's how you get to be rich. And, of course, Carlos Slim got rich through being an insider within Mexican, politics. The people that are really dangerous are outright globalists like Vicente Fox, who's an enemy of Donald Trump. Mr. Nieto of Mexico right now is not a bad guy, but he's and may not be a complete globalist, but he, like Tillerson, is probably susceptible to being pressured to do things in Mexico. I mean, look, if anybody was president of Mexico and didn't shut down illegal immigration to the United States, you know that they're being influenced. I mean, it's so simple to do. All you got to do is run a dozen or so sting operations and start arresting coyotes who are taking people across the border. It's the same thing in Turkey or Libya or any of those people. If you're serious about stopping these boat people from getting to Greece, you just run a sting operation. Have agents feign that they're a refugee offering money to boat people to take them across, and they'll arrest them as soon as they take the money. You'd shut down this illegal armada within a week, but they don't do that.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Trump's picks are a great worry, but like I said, we're going to have to sit back and we're going to have to give Donald a chance. We're going to have to use whatever influence we possibly can in the new media, taking center stage and elsewhere, to see if we can't at least have some effect on sanity. Seriousness at the border, lower taxes, less regulation for starters, a pro-life agenda, which would take us a long way. Hopefully we can get some of those things done. Only time will tell. In the meantime, getting your family prepared is top billing, in my humble opinion. In fact, Joel Skousen's son, adult son, I should say, Andrew Skousen, a well-known writer in his own right, brings up preparedness tips in the latest World Affairs Brief. He does it every week, by the way. Incredible stuff. WorldAffairsBrief.com. He talks about wood burning stoves this time.
Well, you know, our concern is that, you know, and we have lost electricity here in various localities during this very severe cold weather, and your house gets cold very, very fast. And, you know, you, most people, even if you've got a portable generator in the house, not knowing how to hook it up to get your furnace operating, because, you know, a natural gas furnace will keep running if you've got enough electricity just to run at least the electronics, the thermostat, and the fan. But, you know, to have a wood stove in the house to give ambience and to be able to get emergency heat is, I think, an essential for everybody. It's not that difficult to do. Andrew, in his tip, talks about various wood stove reviews. We recommend the ones, you know, that are efficient, and there's a lot of them out there now. But and unfortunately, wood stoves are pretty expensive. A lot of them are in the $2,000 to $3,000 range, not including installation. But there are a lot of cheap ones also on the market that, you know, if you can't afford anything, get a cheap one, you know, one that's less than $1,000 that can at least keep you warm. It may not be the most efficient thing in the world. But it's amazing how in sub-zero temperatures like we've got here in Utah right now, you've got to have alternative sources of, source of heat.
And people need to understand preparedness is not an event. It's a quest. It's a continual effort that needs time, needs effort, needs maintenance, needs attention, needs involvement, needs education. And that's what World Affairs Brief on a weekly basis provides, Joel.
Yeah, and one thing I worry, every time we have a success in politics like the election of Donald Trump, people tend to go to sleep. And, you know, I think the Lord's given us more time. I don't think it's going to solve any of the major threats. This conspiracy is far too deep and dangerous for one person to stop, even if they knew what they were doing. So what I'm just saying is that people, you know, you may have positive views out of life, but don't let that stop you from preparing. The threats are still there, and they're deadly. And war is going to come in the next decade, and so people need to be prepared for that as well.
And remember, just because we're cheerful and have a positive attitude and we're not down in the dumps like Michelle Obama thinking everything's horrible and there's no hope at all, we have plenty of hope. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the good capabilities of the American people. Our hope is in our preparedness. Our hope is in doing all we can do, doing our very best, and trusting God for the rest. That's our hope. Doesn't mean bad things won't happen, and it doesn't mean we think we can avoid the catastrophes that are sure to come, especially as we continue to turn our back on God as a nation and as a world and go against his teachings. And an immoral group certainly cannot receive the blessings that a moral organization or moral people could receive. Joel Skousen, thank you so much, my friend. Merry Christmas.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There he goes, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. I'm telling you, get somebody commentary on a troubled world in your inbox weekly for Christmas. Also, joelskousen.com, incredible book gifts for Christmas. This Nation Shall Endure.